Second Timothy chapter 3 is where we will start today. As we begin August, today's Sunday, August the 2nd, 2026. One of the objections that we hear from time to time that people have concerning the Bible is sometimes people say, well, you can't really trust it because it was written by men. Maybe you've heard that before. The second part of that objection is absolutely true. It was written by men. Men did write the Bible. Approximately 40 different writers over a span of around 1,500 years. And those writers came from very different political, cultural, and economic conditions. And what they wrote indicates many well-documented historical events across many countries, including Egypt, the wilderness, Canaan, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. These writers came from many different backgrounds. Kings, tax collector, fishermen, highly educated, prophets of God, priests, physician. The collection of writings over a period of 1,500 years contains approximately 2,500 prophecies, things foretold that were to happen. And around 2,000 of those prophecies have come to pass, including around 300 Old Testament prophecies concerning the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are indisputable facts. It has nothing to do with anybody's theology. It's just facts. And with all of that, wouldn't it at least be worth considering, not what others say about it, but wouldn't it at least be worth looking and seeing what the scriptures themselves say about what was written by all of those people over all of that length of time? Well, this morning, let's consider some of what those men wrote that we call the Word of God. And we're starting in a familiar verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The first thing we note is all. All scripture. All of it. All of it, beginning to the end. All scripture. And then King James says, is given by inspiration of God. Is in italics, which it was added. Those five words given by inspiration of God, one word in the Greek, it's a compound word, theopneustos, and it means God-breathed. All scripture, God-breathed. God-breathed, and that's obviously a figure of speech because God doesn't breathe. When we speak, when anyone speaks, you breathe. It's pretty hard to speak without any air coming out, right? All scripture, God breathed. Then it says, is profitable. All scripture is profitable. There's profit to it. It's profitable for doctrine. And doctrine is literally means teaching. And in this context, it would be right teaching. Without right teaching, how can you believe rightly? Guess? That sounds good to me. Right teaching. For example, having a right understanding of the scriptures regarding healing would be very profitable, wouldn't it? Sure it would. It would be profitable for us, which would result in right believing. Then it's also profitable for reproof, and reproof corrects us where we're not believing rightly. There may be people who believe that God gives sickness to test, to see if you are really loving God, to see this and that. Reproof, but when a person sees and understands what the scripture says, that God heals all diseases, the Lord will remove sickness from you, God will heal you, by Jesus Christ you were healed. And then in addition to doctrine, right teaching, reproof, then there's correction. And correction is designed to get us back to that right teaching. It's profitable for that. All of it, it's profitable for right teaching, reproof, correction, and those three are instruction in righteousness. How profitable the scriptures are for our personal lives. How valuable. All scripture, God breathed. And then the next verse says, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And I think you might know that the word perfect and the word furnished come from the same Greek word, and it might be better understood as furnished or outfitted. Like if you were going camping and you got everything you needed for the camping trip, you're totally outfitted for it. The word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, that the man of God or the woman of God may be outfitted, truly outfitted unto all good works. What a wonderful two verses of scripture that give us great insight to the scriptures. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Back up just a bit to Galatians chapter 1. We're looking this morning to see what God's word says about itself, not what people say about it, but what does God's word say about itself. In Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, verse 11, Galatians 1, 11, "But I certify you, I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." It was revealed to him. And if you keep what we just read here in mind and look at 2 Peter 3 regarding what the Apostle Paul taught and what he wrote, and we know he wrote a lot of scripture, but if you look at 2 Peter 3, keeping in mind that Paul said, I didn't get it from man, I wasn't taught it by man, but it was by revelation. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also," look at this, "according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." The wisdom that was given to Paul. And remember in Galatians it said he received it by revelation. And it goes on to say, "as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." What Paul wrote was from the wisdom given to him. It was by revelation, and what he wrote is referred to here as scripture. The epistles that Paul wrote are scripture. And we already know all scripture God breathed. See how it fits? It just fits beautifully. Let me show you another one in Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. There's a number of details here in these first four verses of Luke that maybe we'll look at sometime, but for this morning, let's just read verses 1 through 4 of Luke chapter 1. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, or beloved of God, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. It seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, is from above. It's that word anathen. Remember when Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, and that word again means from above. Luke had perfect understanding from above. God. What he wrote was what God told him to write. Just like Paul, revelation, wisdom given unto him. And then we go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We were just there. Now we're going right back. Another familiar verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. Everybody there, 2 Peter chapter 1. We good? Okay. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's what God says in His Word. Talking about His Word, God says that no Scripture is of any private interpretation. And the word private could easily be translated one's own, his own. I think this is the only place in the Bible it's translated private. But it means one's own, his own, their own. No prophecy of the Scripture is of anyone's private interpretation. So you're left with either only two choices. Either there is no interpretation, or it interprets itself from the inside. And then verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, just like what Paul said in Galatians, right? I didn't receive it from man. I wasn't taught it. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God told them what to write. You don't need to turn there, but Exodus 17:14 says, and the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And in Exodus 34, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. God told Moses what to write, and he wrote it. There are other scriptures that specifically talk about God telling people what to write. And if you're interested, I got a list of them over here. I'm not going to be able to get to all this morning, but if you're interested, I made a few copies. You're welcome to have that. So, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And from Galatians, we learned that it was not from men, but by revelation, something revealed. In Peter, we saw it was wisdom given to Paul by God. In Timothy, we saw it's God-breathed. In the Gospel of Luke, we saw that it was perfect understanding from above, from God. We call this book the Word of God because it is, when it's rightly understood. Go to Hebrews. Let me show you a fun one in Hebrews chapter 3. Back up just a bit to Hebrews chapter 3. This is kind of cool. It's just amazing how this Word of God just fits together. It just fits. And over, 40 writers, over 1,500 years, and it all just fits. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Holy Ghost, God, wherefore, as God said, what did he say? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, approved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Oh, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Who said this? God said this. How do we know that? Because it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost, wherefore, as God said it. This is from Psalm 95. It's a quote from Psalm 95. And then again, quoting from Psalm 95, chapter 4, it comes up again. Chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he limiteth it a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That again is from Psalm 95. Therefore, from everything we've seen so far, David was a holy man of God who was moved by the Holy Spirit and wrote what God told him to write, and he wrote Psalm 95. See how this just fits? Look at Jeremiah 36. We take a lot of time in the Walking in God's Power foundational class with this Psalm, or Jeremiah 36. We're just going to read the first four verses, but Jeremiah 36 just spells it out for us. Jeremiah chapter 36. Everybody there? Verse 1. It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, and here's what God told Jeremiah, take thee a roll of a book, get you a scroll, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And why did God want him to write that? Look at this. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. That was God's intention, that they would repent and turn back. Turn back from what? Were they just cussing too much? No, they were worshiping other gods. They had forsaken the one true God, said, this is our God now. Let's worship this God. And God was giving his word so that they might change their mind. So look what Jeremiah did. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So cool. You know, Jeremiah got his assistant, secretary, and he said, all right, I'm going to tell you what to write. Write it. Baruch wrote it. What did he write? He wrote what he heard from Jeremiah. Where did Jeremiah get the words? From God. That's how we got the scriptures. God told them what to write. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Go to Psalm 12, if you would. Psalm 12. You know, Jesus Christ in Matthew 22 said, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, and then he quoted an Old Testament verse. According to Jesus Christ, he was clearly saying that the scriptures are God speaking to you. Well, I wish God would talk to me. Open the book. There's lots. He could talk to you all day if you wanted to just read the Bible all day. I read the Bible all day. Why? Well, I just want God to talk to me all day. It's God speaking to you, according to Jesus Christ. He also said, sanctify, when he was praying, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's the truth. And the reason the scriptures, rightly understood, are the truth is because God's the author. It says in Numbers, God's not a man that he should lie. It says in Titus, God cannot lie. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How profitable this Bible really is to us. And if you were here last week, we looked at that verse in Peter that says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through a knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord." And that word knowledge is not just knowing, but it's acknowledging, where we accept it. Grace and peace multiplied to you through the acknowledgement of God and Jesus our Lord. And where do we get that information? From the Bible. Psalm 12, verse 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." I meant to bring it out here. I got one of those silver rounds. You ever seen those? It's 1 ounce of silver. They call them silver rounds. And if you look on them, it says 99%. It doesn't say 100% silver. Mark, you could probably appreciate that. God's word's not 99% pure. It is pure. So pure as if it were tried in a furnace, purified seven times. That's pretty pure. In Psalm 119, we're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. You know, I was thinking, maybe for fellowship, we'll just read Psalm 119 together. Almost every verse has a reference to the Word of God in it, to the Scriptures. It uses words like law, testimony, precepts, word, words. It'd be fun to just read that psalm. I know, it's a long psalm. A hundred and how many verses. But it really bless you sometimes to just read it. But we're going to Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy word," this is God's word, "thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Isn't that beautiful? God's word helps us to see the right path to go on, because God's word is profitable unto us for doctrine, reproof, and correction. This isn't talking about God's word showing us if we're driving we should turn left or right. Although, you could get revelation from God saying, "I'd go the other way if I were you." But in our personal lives, His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our paths. Look at verse 72. We're still in Psalm 119. We're going to verse 72. "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands." Did God really write this? Or have men write it? "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Who believes that? Who believes that today? Can you picture if this table, you know, I forget, the price of gold right now is somewhere around $4,000, $4,500 an ounce. Those little silver rounds are around $60. Can you imagine, not on the table, just this whole front area, thousands of gold coins and silver, thousands. And then you read this verse, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands." Who believes that? That's what God said in His word. Go to 162. We'll just throw this one in for good measure. Verse 162, "I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil." You know, when they conquered, they got all the booty. You know, you conquered a land and then you got all the spoils. Great spoil, thousands of gold and silver is what God said. How underestimated this wonderful word of God, the Bible, is. Yes, men wrote it, but they wrote what God told them to write. We're going to the book of Jeremiah chapter 15. Speaking about how profitable this word of God is to us. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. That doesn't mean he chewed the scroll up. But, you know, it's a figure of speech that he digested it. He assimilated that word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So profitable, so valuable, it can bring joy and rejoicing to your heart and my heart. And tell you what, Jeremiah needed it. Read the book of Jeremiah sometime. The crap that man put up with. You know, there's one point where he said, I'm done. He said, I was weary. I'm not going to speak his word anymore. I'm done. But then he said, but his word was like a roaring fire inside of me, and I just couldn't stop. And that's all they wanted him to do was to shut up. Quit being so negative. Quit talking about this Nebuchadnezzar guy is going to take us over. That's never going to happen, you pessimistic whatever. And they arrested him. At one point, they buried him up to his neck in dung, had him in the stocks, and yet he just kept preaching God's word. And he said, God's word was the joy and rejoicing to my heart. Sometimes we go through tough times, and maybe we're not up to our neck in dung, but we could use a little joy and rejoicing. Now go to chapter 2 of Jeremiah. It gets a little bit heavy here. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people, not the heathens, not the pagans, my people. God is saying, my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God likens himself to a fountain. A fountain has an unlimited supply. A cistern is something you build that holds water. These guys, their cisterns were broken and didn't hold any water. So how do you forsake God? The word forsake there means to depart, to leave behind, to abandon, to neglect. My people have departed from me. My people have left me behind. My people have abandoned me. My people have neglected me. What a sad verse to read, really, when you think about it. God says, I'm a fountain, and they left me. And what they left him for? False gods, idols, which was rampant, which Jeremiah hammered, and they wouldn't listen. And moving from God to anything else is a broken cistern. So you forsake God by forsaking his words for something different. And that really, that happens when people don't stay rooted in the truth of God's word. Why do that? To get a little context of this, just a little context, but go to verse 11. This kind of clarifies what I've just been saying. Verse 11, hath a nation changed their gods? Which are no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. God's word is profitable. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Isn't that sad? Very sad. And then maybe you can understand why what we read in 36 when God told Jeremiah, get a scroll, write this. Let them see what's about to happen. Maybe they'll change their mind and come back to me so I can help them. If you read that record in Jeremiah 36, some of you know that what he wrote, God's word, God told him what, Baruch wrote it, it got to the king. Oh, good. No. King read some of it, took his knife, cut up the scroll, and threw it in the fire. My people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. One more sad verse. Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. See, God's word is profitable to us. But without it, good luck. You'll need it. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. You know, we read in Jeremiah, my people have committed two evils. Well, here in Hosea 4, 6, the first part of this verse, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? It's a knowledge of God's word, sure. A knowledge of God and a knowledge of his word. And again, it's not just knowing it, but it is accepting it. It's acknowledging it, believing it. Two more places. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. This wonderful, wonderful word of God that we have sitting in our laps. We're so blessed. We're so spoiled. Imagine in the first century, they didn't have Bibles, you know, where you could just go and get one. I heard somebody say once, they're waiting around for weeks for a letter, for their letter to arrive from Paul. God bless you all. And then they would read the letter. Can I read it? Can I hold it? Can I read it a little bit? You know, and then make copies of it, and then I think you know that the church epistles were meant to be encyclical, where they would send them around so everybody could, but that's all they had at that time. In Matthew 4, verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, to Jesus, the devil, he said, if you're really the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I bet he was hungry. I'm hungry sometimes after 4 hours. If you don't believe me, ask Missy. You ready to eat? Look, if you're hungry, yeah, you must be hungry. If you're really the Son of God, why don't you just command these stones to be made bread? You could turn these stones into bread, couldn't you? But he answered and said, it is written. Oh, he's going to quote scripture. Isn't that cool? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds where? Out of the mouth of God. All scripture, God breathed. God breathed. And that would include the written word of God as well as revelation from God. We absolutely need food to live. Everybody knows that. But Jesus Christ said we not only need physical food, but we need spiritual food, which is the word of God. In order to live the blessed life that God would have us to live. God's not trying to just keep us busy. You need to read my word and study my... God wants us blessed. He gave us the instruction manual so we could be blessed. So we need both. Sometimes we need a little less physical food, but I don't think we need less spiritual food. The more the merrier. Let's get fat on God's word. All right, we're going to close in 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we'll close out. I hope in looking at some of this morning that perhaps your love, respect, reverence for God's word is maybe a little more. Mine sure is. And we've looked at just a few verses that told us a lot about this book that we call the Word of God. And yes, men wrote it. No question about it. But God told the writers what to write. So, yes, many writers, but only one author. And when you take the time to work this book from the inside, this book that had around 40 writers written over 1,500 years, people from many different backgrounds, many parts of the world, with thousands of prophecies fulfilled, when you work it from the inside, it fits together without any contradictions. That's why here in this fellowship and in other places as well, we're very concerned about looking carefully at the scriptures and utilizing those keys that we learn in the Walking in God's Power foundational class, the keys to how all scripture interprets itself, working it from the inside. Because God told us in Peter that none of it is of any private interpretation. We close in a familiar verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's the right dividing of the truth that gives us the truth. Not taking things out of context, not twisting it to line up with what I really think it should say or what. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I thought of another verse that I didn't write down, but it's in Hebrews where it says, the word of God, I think you know this verse, the word of God is quick, meaning alive. It's a living word. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints of marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This word of God. What a prize we all have. And we can look at it on our tablets, on our phone, hold it in our lap, get a different size print. I got this big print, small print. How blessed we are and how privileged we are to have this wonderful word of God. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for finding faithful men that you could give your word to, and that those holy men of God spake as they were moved by you, that they wrote what you told them to write. Thank you for those through the centuries who have labored in your word to rightly divide it. Especially thankful for those in our day and time with the abilities to seriously work your word from the inside and help us to understand. Thank you for the knowledge of your Son that we find in your word, who he was, what he did for us, and that in your word we find out who we are as a result of believing in your Son. And Father, how we can know from your word our future. And it's a glorious future. Thanks for the privilege of sharing your word this morning with your people. And Father, may we all have a wonderful week looking to you, trusting you, and enjoying our reading of your words that you had written for us. So thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.